past several weeks, we've been looking at heaven for a purpose. This our purpose, it falls into what we just looked at here. You know, Jesus had instructed his disciples when they were going through a very dark time. We are in a dark time period, guys. And I'm kind of like, wow, God, you picked us to be here at such a time as this. I feel like we're all Esthers, you know. But Jesus was instructing his disciples during a dark, critical time in their life. He instructed them in John 14:1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Yeah, I know all this is going on, but don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Trust me. Trust God. Trust me through this time. So they were about to face a dark, critical time, and he went on to tell them that really they're supposed to keep their focus on heaven. Keep your focus on spiritual things, not on this earth. Don't get bogged down by the stuff going on this earthly realm. Keep your heart focused on heavenly things, not on earthly things that's happening. And I believe that God is telling us in these scriptures that we're to do that today because we're facing some dark times. And so he goes on in John 14:2-3, Kathy. He says, this is Jesus. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." And so Jesus, of course, is talking about heaven, right? And in those next several weeks after we started this series on heaven, we saw that heaven is a real place. We saw that God and Jesus live there. We saw that heaven is located upward, above all the principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world. We saw that heaven was created by God, and that there were different levels of heaven, right? The third heaven is called paradise. Remember, we talked about paradise. That's where the presence of God is. That's his presence isn't limited to there, but his presence is there. That's where his throne is. That's where the host of heaven and all of his angels live. That's where the tree of life is. There's no pain. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no sadness. No tears. That's where the river of life flows from. We were just talking about that earlier today. That's where the souls of all believers go to heaven, to that paradise. We saw that heaven has gates made of precious pearl, streets of iridescent gold, and walls made of precious gems. Walls, awesome. And we saw that the glory of God illuminates all of it. They don't need any lights, they don't need any sun, they don't need any moon there. It's his glory. And then we saw that the only way to get to heaven, the only way to assure your way to this paradise, this eternal home, is you have to be born again. That is God's way. You got to be born again. Well, today, I want to begin another series that kind of follows the series on heaven that we just had. And I believe that series guided us to where we're going today. You know, we began looking at heaven in obedience to what Jesus said in Scripture there. When you face a dark, challenging time, look up. Keep your focus on spiritual things. Keep your focus on heaven. Trust God. And I believe that we are facing a dark time right now, nationally, politically, spiritually, economically, and it's all connected. It's all connected, and the church overall is being affected. The church is being affected. I don't know if any of you had gotten to hear the very passionate speech that Ted Cruz gave at the CPAC. Did you get to hear that? Well, the CPAC, I didn't know what it was either. It's a very conservative political action group. It's the largest and most influential gathering of conservatives in the world. It began in 1974. President Ronald Reagan gave the inaugural keynote speech in where he stated that America is to be the shining city on a hill. And that group, the CPAC group, they meet annually near Washington, D.C., and they're meeting right now. And so on Friday, they had asked Senator Ted Cruz to speak at that meeting. And today at 3:30, President Donald Trump is going to be speaking at that meeting. So I want to look at this speech show that Ted Cruz gave. It was awesome. It was awesome. And so I have a little bit that he said here. He said, "We are gathered in dark times." Huh. He said, "We're gathered at a time where the hard left, where the socialists control the level of government, where they control the White House, where they control every executive branch, where they control both houses of Congress." He said, "Liberty is under assault." He was spot on in every one of those comments. He went on further, but that's what we're facing today. You know, with the radical left, the major media trying to silence the church, trying to silence the truth. That's what we're dealing with right now, guys. You know, back in Jesus' day, they were facing a similar dark time. You know, they were facing some similar situation where the ignorant were in charge, ignorant in the government, ignorant in the church. There were dark players in government and dark players in the church back then. We have that here. But you know what? God saw it then. He knew what was going on then. And he sees it now. He knows what's going on. And so, anyway, it's all interconnected. I believe that along with Ted Cruz, I believe we are experiencing some dark times right now. But he had strong encouragement, you know. And he was really suggesting, go to the polls. Now the only thing is, we need to fix those polls, because the evidence is overwhelming that this last election was not accurate, and so hopefully our elected officials will do something about that and take some of that control back. But anyway, Jesus tells us to keep our focus on heaven, keep our focus on spiritual things when you're going through this muck, when you're going through this stuff, okay? That's what he tells us to do. Look up or trust him in challenging times. I believe that this mini-series that we're starting today, the last series was called Heaven is Real. This series is being called Angels Are Real. And so we're going to focus on angels today. And I believe our series on heaven is directing us to do that. I really believe that during a dark time, it's imperative that we keep our focus on God, on his word, and that we do that in a very disciplined way. That we are stuck on that word and not moved off, no matter what we hear, no matter what we see before our eyes, that we stay on that word. And so we're going to be talking about angels today. You know, we saw in that miniseries where we were talking about heaven, we saw a little bit in that series, we talked a little bit about God's angels and how they dwell with him there. They are included, if you remember, we taught that they are included in the host of heaven. We use this verse, Kathy, Nehemiah 9:6. During our heaven series, we looked at Nehemiah 9:6, and it says, "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host. The host of heaven worships you." So the host of heaven includes God's angels. They worship God. You may remember from our Christmas story in December that Jesus' birth was announced by an angel. It was announced to the shepherds by an angel of the Lord. This is what the angel announced. The angel said this in Luke 2 And I'm going to read from verses 10 to 15. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now, if you remember back in December, I asked, I think, four individuals to please read the Christmas story. They shared the Christmas, and I think David Kramer read this part, if I'm not mistaken. I think he read that. But we're going to go on to verse 11. So thank you, Dave, for sharing the word with us. Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And verse 12, "And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe." This is the angel telling these shepherds, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels, when the host of heaven had gone away from them back into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So that's talking about the host of heaven, the angels of heaven. They're all included in that host of heaven. It's a multitude of angels. It's a multitude. It's a host. It's plural. That word angel in Greek is the word angelos. It's pronounced angelos. It means a messenger. It means an angel. In this part of the scripture that I just read, an angel brought a message from God to the shepherds. So angels are messengers from God. We also saw in our heaven mini-series that, we'll look more about that as this series goes on, about them being messengers. But we also saw in that heaven mini-series that Jesus said that, if you remember this, angels ascend and descend from heaven. So that proves that they do dwell in heaven. And we use John 1:43. This is when Jesus was calling Nathanael to become one of his disciples. And he, Jesus, said to Nathanael, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open." We were singing about an open heaven today. Thank you, Seth. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And you know, in that same series, we also looked at Genesis 28. I don't have that up here, but Genesis 28, verses 10 to 13, we looked at Jacob. Remember, Jacob had a dream, and he saw a ladder being extended from the earth to heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending on that ladder. So angels are real, guys. They're real, and they dwell in heaven, but they are also released from heaven to come to earth. Why? You know, what's that purpose? We're going to be looking at all this during this mini-series on angels. Today is our introduction. Also, if you remember, during that heaven series, I think we had about 4 weeks of that. I don't know if we have the fourth week on Podbean yet, but I think the other three are on there. If you remember, during that series, I mentioned a book that Dr. Billy Graham wrote. And that book, it was written about angels. It's entitled Angels, God's Secret Agents. And I said that Billy Graham was moved to do a study on angels, but he was surprised to find out that he didn't have much in his own personal library about angels. So he went to the local library, and there wasn't much there either on God's angels. And so he went to bookstores, not much written on God's angels. He said he saw plenty written about Satan and on demons and about the occult, but not very much about God's angels. And so he really felt led that he needed to do a study on angels. And so, you know, you can maybe speculate why haven't there been much, you know, literature written about God's angels other than what we see in Scripture. I mean, there's a lot in here. There's a lot in Scripture. Almost 300 Scriptures talk about angels in the Bible. And so you might speculate, maybe, because Scripture tells us that we're not to worship angels. But you know, if we're going to study the subject of angels, that doesn't mean that we're worshiping angels. We're studying angels because God speaks about them in here. And with what we're going through right now, we need to know what those angels are sent to do. What do they do for us? Why? How do we summon them? What do we do here? What's their job? And so we've already seen briefly angels worship God. Okay, there's many more scriptures that reveal that's one of the purposes that God created angels, to worship Him. If you look at Psalm 148:2, thank you, Kathy, for handling the scriptures. I probably could do that if I hit a button, but then that's one more thing I have to think about, you know. And so I just want to think about the word. I just want to be on the word. So thank you, Pat and Ralph, for doing all that other stuff that I can't do. Anyway, so Psalm 148, verse 2 says, "Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts." And then verse 5 goes on to say, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." So God created the angels and all the heavenly host. God commanded, and they were created. They were created, and they're to praise God. You know, we are not to worship angels. We are to worship God. If we would be worshiping the creation, which are the angels, we rather than the Creator, we would have idols. We would have another God before us. The Bible says, do not have any other gods before the Creator. We worship the Creator, not the creation. Okay? God created the angels for several purposes. One of them is to worship and to praise God. And look at Colossians 1:16. It says, "For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." So angels were created by God and for God. For God. They are to offer praise and worship to God. Another verse. There's so many. Hebrews 1:6. Says, you know, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world," talking about Jesus, "he says, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.'" So angels worship God. They worship God the Father, and they worship God the Son. In Revelation 5, verses 11 to 12, here the apostle John was given a vision of heaven while he was on the island of Patmos. Verse 11 and 12. It says, John is saying, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne," many angels, "the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings.'" You see in that scripture, it says many. There are many angels, thousands of thousands, thousands around God's throne with four living creatures who are cherubim. Those are angels. Angels. We'll discuss more about that in this series. And there were 24 elders around that throne. They represent the redeemed, the faithful overcomers, the church. And so the angels praise and worship God. They praise and worship. There's another scripture there in Revelation 7, 11 to 12, which supports the same thing. Excuse me. It says, "All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So the scripture is very clear that one of the reasons that God created the angels is that they are to worship, they're to praise God, they're to praise him. But you know, not all the angels are standing around the throne praising God. We saw earlier that that some are descending and ascending back and forth to heaven. And so, well, what do they want to do on earth? Why are they coming to earth? And so scripture reveals that there is another purpose that God created angels for. He created them to help us, to help man. And so Hebrews 1:14, Kathy, says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation?" So angels are ministering spirits. They're spirits. They're not human beings. They're spirits. They're sent by God to minister to believers, those who will be inheriting salvation. That's good news, guys, for us who are, you know, dealing with some things while we're here on this earth. God sends angels to help us in time of need. Psalm 91 also, Kathy, tells us that too. Psalm 91 is one of my favorite psalms, by the way. I read it regularly. And in it, God tells us that he sends his angels to help us. Psalm 91, and I'm going to read verses 9 to 13. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." In verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Verse 13, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me," God says, "therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." And in verse 15 and 16, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and I'll honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." You know, we aren't promised immunity, you know, from all the trials and challenges in life, but God does promise to help those who call upon him, those who trust in him. You know, he'll deliver us, he'll honor us. He says he uses his angels to accomplish those things. That's why they're ascending and descending on that ladder, okay? And so he sends his angels to help us in times of challenging, dark times. He has his angels, and we need to know that. We need to know that we have some help. I remember a video that Gary and I had a number of years ago. It was full of testimonies of angelic incredible testimonies of how angels impacted people's life here on earth. They were true stories. It was an excellent video. Gary bought it for me for my birthday, and I wanted to encourage someone else. I gave it away to them, and they must have really liked it. I have not seen it since. But there's one story on there that is etched in my brain, and I will never forget it. And so it was a testimony of a young woman who was living in New York, and she was making her way down a very lonely, deserted street, all for the exception of one person standing on the same side of the street before her. And so she eyed up this guy, and she instantly sensed this is not a safe person, and she was concerned about even walking by him. And so she said, she whispered, "God, help, help, help." And so, he had seen her, she had seen him, and she just continued on her way. And so she said, as she walked by this man, she could feel his eyes all over her. And so, but she kept walking, and she was finally relieved when she got to her apartment. She got in safe; nothing had transpired. She was home safe, and so she was happy about that. She felt you know, comforted. And so the next day, back then, you know, people read newspapers every day. And so she was reading the newspaper, and she spotted an article about something that happened on her street that she lived on. And she said, apparently, this it happened just a few moments after she had walked by this man. And the article had a description of this man that she had walked by. It fit him perfectly. And the article said that this man had attacked a woman walking on this same street just a few moments after she walked. It had the time. So she knew it was after she had walked past this guy. The woman was very badly hurt, and she was in the hospital. The article said that the man was apprehended, and he was taken to jail, and that's where he was being held. But after reading that article, the woman, this young woman, wondered, she questioned, I walked down that street. I walked before that man. Why didn't he attack me? Why didn't he hurt me? And so she thought, well, she could, you know, he's at the police station. He's in custody. So she goes to the police station. She asks the police, you know, I live on that street. I walk. I just want to ask the guy a question. And so they allowed her to go into the jail. And he's in bars, you know, so he's away from her. He's secured. But she goes in there, and she wants to ask this guy, why didn't you attack me? So she goes in and she says, and it was the guy. She saw it was the same guy. And she said, do you remember me? She said, I was wearing this red coat yesterday. A red coat. You know, red is pretty, you know, a dominant color. You might remember a red coat. Not everybody wears a red coat. I like red, but I don't have any red coats. Oh, I do have one. I'm sorry. Anyway, but, and red cars. Yeah, we all have red cars. Anyway, she said, do you remember me? And he said, oh, yes, I remember you. And she said, why didn't you attack me like you attacked that woman? Why didn't you attack me? And he said, I would have, but you had those two big men walking on either side of you. She couldn't see those angels walking next to her. There was no one else on the street. The guy, the man, could see those angels, and he would not attack her because of those. He thought they were real people. She couldn't see them. They were angelic beings that God provided in response to her help. Help. God sent angels to protect that woman, and he sends angels to protect us too. God's concerned about all of the details of our life. He really is. The pastor previous to me, his name was Pastor Tom Kirkman, and Denise, his wife, lovely wife Denise. Awesome couple. Awesome couple. They shared a testimony with us while they were here, while they were pastoring in our church. They were an older couple, and we knew that they would only be here temporarily because we knew at some point they'd be retiring. But why we invited them here was because they were the real deal. They were just awesome. And so they had a lot of experience starting churches, ministering to people. So we really wanted their knowledge, their wisdom, the anointing on them. And so they shared this testimony. I'll never forget this one either. They said that they had moved to a small town in Iowa. That's where they're from. They're from Iowa. They had moved to a small town in Iowa. This was a number of years ago, okay? They're retired now, and they're living in Florida at the moment. They will be moving back to Iowa at some point, though. They either had bought or they were renting a house in this little town that they had just moved to, okay? And they started a church. The church wasn't even a month old. They had just gotten there, didn't know very many people. This happened to be the middle of winter. So this was winter, and they ran out of heat. And so they don't have much income. They just started this church. They didn't know people. They had no other source of income, but they needed propane. You might need propane in your place up there. Our daughter has a house there, and she needs propane to heat the thing. And so they ran out of propane, and they didn't have enough money to fill that tank to have heat. It's in the middle of winter. They're having a major snowstorm. And so they just needed a little bit more money than they could get the propane. If I remember correctly, I think it was only like $35 or $40. Now, we're talking back a number of years. $35 now is, you know, not a biggie. But back then, it was a lot of money because they had no other source of income other than this baby church that they just started. And they made the decision that they weren't going to tell anybody about their need. They woke up this morning, that it was snowing. They had no heat. They had no money to get the tanks filled. But they decided they're going to take their issue to God. They're going to tell God about their situation. Nobody else. And so they prayed. And they let God know that they needed, I'm pretty sure it was 35. Gary thinks it was 75. I think it was 35. But whatever the amount of money was, they only let God know what they needed. Okay? And so they were pretty much snowed in. There had been this snowstorm, but a knock comes on their front door, and Pastor Tom goes to answer the door, and there's a young girl standing out there. She looked to be about maybe 16 years old, and she asked him, she said, are you the new preacher in town? And he said, yes. She said, here, this is for you. And she hands him an envelope, and before she left, he asked her, he said, oh, thank you. What is your name? And she said, my name is not important. And so she left, and she walked back to the driveway, and in their driveway, she had a yellow moped, a bright yellow moped that she drove there in a snowstorm. I mean, I don't know who drives mopeds in a snowstorm, but I don't even drive them when it's not snowing, you know? Maybe a red one I would, yeah. So anyway, you know, she said, you know, it's not important to know my name. And she turned and she took off on that yellow moped. Then Tom comes in, closes the door, and opens up the envelope. Inside the envelope was cash. He counted it. It was the exact amount of cash that he and his wife prayed for that morning that they needed to fill their propane tanks. And so Tom and Denise were ecstatic. So he quick runs out the door to try to catch the gal that he wanted to ask questions. How did you know? How did you know we needed this amount of money? We didn't tell anybody. And he goes out there, and he's looking for this person. And there was a long road, but there was no moped. He looked. There were no footprints getting to their house. There was no moped tracks. In the snow, there was no trail of anyone even being there, but yet they had this money, the exact amount of money that they had asked God for, and so they were just ecstatic. But they're wondering, how did this person know this? So they just got to this town. It's a very small town. They said, you know, if someone's driving a yellow moped in this town, people are going to know who that is. So they started asking questions. Hey. Do you know who, anyone who drives a yellow moped around here? Nobody knew anything about a yellow moped. Yeah, way out of state. So, I mean, what Tom and Anise realized was that was no ordinary young teenage girl. That was an angel that God had sent on a yellow moped with the exact amount of cash to meet their need. Powerful. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up, guys. And so God cares about the affairs of man, the things that we deal with in life. He cares. And so, you know, in that book that I told you about, Billy Graham's book, that Angels, God's Secret Agents, in the preface of his book, he states part of his prayer is that God would use the book that he wrote on angels to bring encouragement to those who are under the pressures of everyday living. You know, heat is pretty essential when you're, you know, talking about a winter storm. You need to have some heat. And so, you know, that's a concern of Tom and Denise at that time, and God met that need. How about you? Do you have any needs? Do you have any needs? Do you feel any pressure, guys? Anyone feeling any pressure, you know, in the time that we're living? We need to keep our focus heavenward. Trust God, just like Tom and Denise trusted God. Keep our focus heavenward. Trust him. And keep a right perspective about all the things that are going on. Keep a heavenly perspective. Billy Graham also said that he hoped that his book written about angels would bring guidance to those who are frustrated by the events of our generation. I think that priest that we saw earlier, I think he would be encouraged if he read Billy Graham's book on angels. This is what Billy Graham wrote. This was on October 1st, 1975. This is what Billy Graham wrote in his book. He's talking about the subject of angels. So I want to share what he was saying back then. He was actually speaking prophetically. He said this. I think we have this on the screen. If my husband could read my handwriting. Yeah. He said this. In the midst of the world crisis through which we are destined to live in the years ahead, the subject of angels will be of comfort and inspiration to believers in God and a challenge to unbelievers to believe. That was written by Billy Graham, October 1st. He's speaking about the subject of angels that we're studying today. So he believed that the subject of angels would encourage us even in the times that we are facing right now. I believe that the subject will be encouragement to us right now in the things that we see happening, things that maybe we weren't planning on seeing happen. You know, there's all kinds of things going on. From the priest, we could tell that, you know, the leader of our country right now is placing people in powerful leadership positions that have no respect for God or life. None. This is a dark time. And so Ted Cruz got it right. This is a dark time that we're living in. But I want to encourage you that God is greater. His light still shines in dark times, and it pushes that darkness back. We're his lights. We're his lights. That priest, he's a light. Those bishops may not be too happy with what, I don't even know if he's got a job anymore. But he's a light. He's a light. One of the things that Billy Graham said that God helped him to see while he was writing this book, he said that the subject of heavenly angels was a neglected subject. And he said it's a very important subject. And so he said that study of angels was one of the most fascinating studies of his life. Of his life. He spent a lot of time studying angels. So I will be referencing that book occasionally during this mini-series. Billy Graham said he wasn't convinced that these heavenly beings exist and provide aid to on our behalf because of the awesome testimonies about angelic, you know, visitations, even though they're very impressive. He said he doesn't believe in angels because of the worldwide emphasis on Satan and on demons and on the occult. He doesn't believe in angels because of that. He said he doesn't believe in angels because he's ever seen one, because he said he hasn't. To his knowledge, he's never seen an angel. He said he's never heard anyone preach on the subject of angels. He said he believes in angels because Billy says the Bible says that there are angels, and the Bible is the true word of God. God said there's angels. God said so. God said he created the angels, and he said he sends angels to help us. So if God said it, that's it. Angels are real. I know we're beyond our time and some people are leaving. We have so much more to cover on angels, but I'm just excited to get to delve into this subject and study angels more. I think the subject will be very encouraging to us in this time that we're all facing. Angels are real. Heaven is real. And so we'll be looking at a lot of scripture. To my knowledge, I've never seen an angel either. I've never been to heaven, but I know heaven is real, and I know that angels are real. My daughter did. I will share that testimony next time, because we're running out of time. But anyway, I just wanted to give an introduction to the series that we're looking at, and I believe it will be an encouragement to each and every one. Okay, so we're going to close in prayer. If anyone would need any help or any prayer, if you need agreement in prayer, we have some prayer warriors that would love to pray with you, so you're welcome to come forward, and we'll wear masks in cooperation with legalities and whatever else. Okay, so Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your ministering spirits, Lord, that you sent here to earth to help us, Lord. You care about everything that we care about. You know about all the details in our life. And you care about them. And all we got to do is ask. It could be a simple word. It could be just a help. And you know what our request is. We thank you, Father, that you love us and you desire to help you, those who will receive salvation, that will enter your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, all that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this awesome opportunity to dig into your word and to study about these wonderful beings that you created, Lord God. Not that we worship them at all, but that you have them there for a purpose. And one of the purposes, Lord, is to help us. Father, that encourages me at this time, the times that we are facing right now. So I thank you, Father, that this teaching, that this study on angels will be encouragement to all those who are within the sound of my voice. We just thank and we give you praise, Lord, for all that you do in and through this study. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for revelation, Lord, of your ministering spirits that you send to us. And Lord, we thank you. We do thank you for the awesome testimonies. Your Bible is full of them. Full of testimonies of how angels have helped those saints. And Lord, we look forward to studying and learning more about them. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.